Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolf.
Home, at its most basic unit, is connection in a place where there's peace, where we understand we're all working together, we're on the same team. Hey, sometimes it's difficult, but if we don't work at bringing peace to the home, then what is home going to feel like?
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up, my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
We're going through the Proverbs here on The Balanced Word, addressing a variety of topics along the way that we believe can really benefit your walk with the Lord. Today, Pastor Dave Rolf shows us the Proverbs have a lot to say about the home. What is it supposed to look like according to the Scriptures? And how do we get to that place? Well, let's allow the Lord to speak to us as only He can through His balanced Word.
Glad you joined with us. We are going through the wisdom of the Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is an amazing record of these wise little sayings that the wisest man ever laid down, wrote down for us. And so each week we look at a different topic. And today we're going to consider what the book of Proverbs tells us about home. And so I'll ask you first of all, just in your own mind, what do you think of when you think of home? If something feels like home, what does that feel like? Because an awful lot that's in the Proverbs talks about that, because for Solomon, it was a big deal. In fact, it was when his dad was sitting in his home, he felt bad that God didn't have a home, and that's where the whole idea of building the temple came up. God said, look, the universe is my home. I don't need a home, but if you want to build one, he gave him some very specific instructions as how to do it. So Solomon grew up knowing that he was the guy to build a home for God because of the home that he had himself. I know for me, and this week, and talking with our staff members and just putting the feelers out there, what do you think of when you think of home? We all have a different set of experiences that went along with that memory we have of what our home was like growing up. And some of us had really rough experiences at home. Some of us had, like Jerry talked about, that they lived in Laguna Beach in a little house, shared a room with all of his brothers and sisters. But, you know, if it was sunny, his mom would just say, don't go to school, let's go to the beach. And so I told that story first service, and she said it wasn't just one day. If there was Santa Ana wind, sometimes we'd go to the beach for the whole week. But that's what a great memory. For me, most of my childhood was spent in Stanton, and I've joked about it before. The city of Stanton isn't exactly Laguna Beach. But there was a guy really a neat Christian guy who listens on the radio, and he's the code enforcement officer of the city of Stanton. And he invited me to come and have a tour of the city. And I thought, okay, you know, and that was nice. And he said, hey, maybe I can get you into your old house, the place I lived in from when I was 4 years old or five until I was in college. And so I thought, I never really had the desire, but okay, I'll humor him. We went to the house, and he said, let me go first and make sure it's okay. And he went into the house, and he came back out and said, they won't let you come in. And I go, well, I'll just take a picture of the outside of the house. I get my phone out, and the lady there is yelling at me not to take a picture of the house. I did. But he's like, oh, man, I feel so bad. And I just said, oh, it's okay. It's no big deal. But after that, I just had this feeling like with all the bad memories I had in my home, it was still home for a long time. And I felt really bad that I didn't get a chance to go into my old bedroom or see our old kitchen and all of those mixed up memories that meant home to me. And I think a lot of us have those kinds of memories. When you look at the Bible, as you look through the Bible, there are a whole lot of things in the Bible that talk about a home. In fact, from the very first first part of Genesis 1 and 2, God created a man and woman, and he put them in a garden home. They had this beautiful environment where they lived. It was traumatic when they had sinned, and they finally had to leave their home. They became homeless. They had to go out and then construct a home somewhere else. You go all the way through the Bible, though, such an emphasis on home. The 23rd Psalm, it ends by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And then you get through at the end of the Bible, the whole story of humanity from start to finish ends in a home. It ends in God's place, in heaven, and everything is building toward that, because from the start to the finish, a home really does matter. It does, whether we deny it or not. Whether we have bad experiences at home or not, still that we kind of know what home is supposed to feel like. Home was a big deal to Jesus. He had to leave his home. He had to leave that heavenly home, come down here, and live with us. Paul says that Jesus wants to be at home in our hearts. When Jesus was comforting the disciples when he was about to go and die, you remember what he said? He goes, "Hey, don't get upset. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's a great home there, and I'm going to make it your home." And so it's certainly a big thing. Now, as we look at the book of Proverbs, there's so much that Solomon has to say about the whole idea of home. And so what I want you to think about, though, is forget places. What is your image of what home would be like if it were ideal? Maybe you go, "My home, our home is perfect. It's exactly what I need." But for all of us, let's think in terms of ideal and then look at what he has to say that may help guide us towards that. For the first scripture we're going to look at, turn to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 1. Solomon makes this statement. Proverbs 17, 1. "Better is a dry morsel," just a crouton, "with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife." He's not saying quiet in terms of no sound. You know, some of us may think, "Oh, a house with quietness, that would be so nice." If you want to have a house with quietness, just, you know, kick everyone else out. And sometimes, you know how you come home and there's nobody home right now and you're like, "Oh." But he's not, the word there doesn't mean quietness. What it really means is pleasantness. It means harmony and peacefulness. It's people being connected in a way that they're not completely fighting. Now, I have to turn to a couple of verses that it's repeated constantly in the Proverbs, and there's probably several reasons why that happens. But turn over to Proverbs 21. You ladies will hate me for reading these verses, but there were a lot more of them. Proverbs 21, verse 9. "Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop or up in the attic than in a house shared with a contentious woman." Skip over to verse 19. "Better to dwell in the wilderness, out in the backyard, than with a contentious and angry woman." I'll stop there. There are some of them that where he says a contentious woman is like a dripping faucet. It's just annoying. Now, first of all, Solomon's attitude toward women, you have to understand it in light of the fact that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. So it was a constant that time of the month, hundreds of times over. It'd be rough having that many wives. Really, one is plenty. But let me say this. A contentious husband is just as bad as a contentious wife. That word... Now, where this idea of a contentious woman came from, it's what the word means literally is a woman who is trying to put down her husband to take his place. A woman who is trying to dominate her husband and usurp his personal identity. Now, that's a part of the fall. If you read in Genesis 3, when God cursed the woman, when he cursed the man, he said, you're going to have to work hard all your life and live by the sweat of your brow. But with a woman, he said, man, having babies is going to hurt like crazy. And then he says, but your desire will be for your husband. That doesn't mean, oh, you'll want your husband. What that literally means is that you will want to take his place. You will want to fulfill his role. Or in a simple way, you will want to fix your husband. And that's really not your job. So there's that tendency. Now, I have to say, too, it's interesting that almost every time Solomon mentions home or a house, it's seen as kind of the woman's territory. We think that might be cultural in our culture, but it's always been true that, in a sense, it is the wife's house. That's why he doesn't say, hey, better to kick your wife out or send her to the attic or out to the wilderness rather than to live with a contentious woman. He's like, no, I'm not going to kick her out, but maybe I need to get out. I need to remove myself, or I need to give myself some breathing room, because a house is important to a woman. A woman tends to have more of a nesting instinct and a desire for this. And there's a lot that we men can learn from women about what a home is supposed to be like. But his whole point in chapter 17 and in chapter 21 is home isn't a place where you're fighting about everything. Home can't be contentious. When you walk in the door, if the battle is on, if when you think about what's going to happen at home is going to be like, oh, here we go again. We're going to be arguing over everything. We're going to be fighting over everything. That's not what home is supposed to feel like. And you have the caricature here of a contentious woman. But man, I know some women who are living in a situation where their husband is just criticizing everything about them, where he just wants to argue about everything, where he wants to take away a woman's identity. He wants to control her life completely. So contention is something that flows both ways, and we need to understand that. The real question is, if we want to experience the feeling of home, it does not feel like a place where you fight. Now, there's a time for having, you know, disagreements. There's probably even a time for fighting. I would suggest that you do it somewhere other than home. You know, get a hotel for the weekend if you really want to fight. You know, because that's not home, and you can leave it and go, yeah, I hate that hotel. Or, you know, better yet, go to a restaurant, because then you're like not wanting to get too loud or anything, but you can still make your point. But Solomon's, one of his first principles is home doesn't feel like fighting. Again, quietness does not mean there's no noise. If that was the case, you wouldn't have kids. But the sound of the noise in the home being the energy and the laughter and the joy and those expressions, that's something that he's saying, that's what home is supposed to feel like. And if you come and make your home a place that's a battleground, well, then how in the world are you going to look forward to coming home? How are you ever going to look back and go, man, I want to get home? Or do you go on vacation and you like hate to go home because life is so easy when you're on vacation, but man, when you come home, oh boy, we're in it again. I know it's going to happen again. Again, I understand this, but if we don't understand that ideally home should not be the place that's a battleground, then we're beginning to understand some of what he's talking about. But get this, because home, that word for quietness means peacefulness, a home is not a place for everyone to be alone. See, you go, I could have a quiet home if everyone would leave. Maybe I just need to live alone. Maybe I need to live by myself. In our culture, by the way, the trend in homes in houses is to have more space so that everyone can have their own space. People don't share bedrooms too much anymore. People think, oh, they need all the space. And quite often what we say is, well, I want them to have their own space. I want everyone to have their own room, and then I'm going to have my man cave, and she can have her craft room. And she, see, home is a place for peacefulness. You don't have peacefulness unless you're together, unless there's this bonding together where you are a part of a group, a tribe, an assembly of people where you are connected. I mean, you go back through most of history, people, families lived in really small spaces for the most part. Now you look I watch some of those home shows where they're shopping for a house, and you have a couple and their dog, and like everything about the house is like, well, I don't know if my dog would like that, but like they don't have any kids. But they're looking at some house out in Podunk, America, that's 4,800 square feet, and they're like, I don't know if this is big enough. Home is a place of together. It's a place of connection. You can't be peaceful. You can't have that kind of feeling of home unless you're actually together. And that's why I know in talking about this week, my kids, there were times when my boys shared a bedroom and we had a bunk bed, but most of the time they both ended up in the same bunk. Other times, you know, people talked about, hey, our kids had their own rooms, but half the time they would end up in the room with their brother or sister. We're designed to connect. If we create an environment that just makes it so natural for everyone to go their own way, and then our number one punishment is go to your room, go be alone. That's not peacefulness. That's not helpful. And so home at its most basic unit is connection in a place where there's peace, where we understand we're all working together, we're on the same team. Hey, sometimes it's difficult, but if we don't work at bringing peace to the home, then what is home going to feel like? When we think about it, who in the world wants to go home at the end of the day if it means, here we go again, I'll get the gloves on, let's do this, let's, you know, you have you know, Bruce Buffer announcing that you're home. That's not what home is, according to Solomon. Now, for another thought, turn over to Proverbs 24 and verses 3 and 4. He says, through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Here's a little outline that Solomon used for how to create a home environment. He says, first of all, you need to build the house. And then you need to establish it, which is referring to fixing it up, making adjustments to it, creating the best space that you can, and maintaining it in a way that it's not, you know, constantly broken down. But then notice, and this is sort of surprising, that he says the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That's home decorating. That's like, how do you make it look? Now you think, come on, why is that wisdom and why does that even matter? Now typically, as a man, I think my attitude has traditionally been, look, we have a bed, we have a refrigerator. We're fine. You don't need furniture that you don't sit on. We have a living room we hardly ever go in. We have, you know, more chairs than what we have people in our family, more dishes than that. Why do you need to hang things on the wall? Sheets will cover the windows just fine. You don't need curtains. I mean, I tend to be very utilitarian when it comes to a house. I had a friend one time who, he was single, and he bought this beautiful house over 3,000 square feet down in Vista. And he lived in it for like 3 or 4 years and never bothered putting carpet in it. He was my hero. But I saw him recently, and amazing. He's like probably in his 50s, and he goes, "Hey, did you hear I got married?" And I go, "Did you get carpet?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, you better believe it." But here's the thing. This is Solomon talking, and he is saying wisdom builds a house, fixes it up, and decorates it. Why in the world do you decorate a house? Why does it matter if you have precious and pleasant riches in the house? There are several other proverbs that talk about this as well, that talk about a house having treasure and oil in it, which was a luxury item for them. Here's the thing. The environment in the house contributes to whether it feels like a home or not. If you don't think so, look at the instructions that God gave Solomon about building the temple. It was a pretty small utilitarian structure, for sure, like the size of an average condo, but it was beautiful. Layers of gold and fine finished wood and a beautiful curtain in it and carved shapes. Why did God want him to do that? Because your environment affects how you feel, whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here once again is Pastor Dave.
A couple of years ago, Ann and I went up to this retreat center at a ranch up in Northern California as a chance just to get away. It's an old antique place, and they had a room up above the barn that where the guy who was the Chinese caretaker of this ranch years ago had lived up in that room. And now it's a room where people can just go up there and pray and spend time with the Lord. So I climbed up into that loft, and they had like a really comfortable recliner chair and a couple of nice, simple things and some books and a window with a nice view. And I thought, okay, I'll check it out. But going up there, spending time with the Lord up there, I fell in love with that little room. It was really special, and I decided, you know, for the first time in my life, I'm not going to just have my study, whether it's at home or work, I'm not going to just let it be just thrown together. And so I thought, I want to create that kind of a feeling. Well, I don't have a view out my study at home, but I ended up, I put this huge picture from IKEA of a lake with a sunset on it. And I have a comfortable recliner chair that Ann won't let me put anywhere else in the house. And, you know, then I got rid of most of my bookshelves. I got an old steamer trunk and opened it up and put shelves in it and put my old books on there. And I have an antique drawing table where I can sketch out my ideas for a message. And you know, I love it. When I go into that room and sit down at the end of a day, everything feels like, ah, oh, this is a nice place. If you looked at it, you'd think, really, this is it? It smells old. Well, I'm old. But it was like, it was really the first time I realized, no, it really does matter. So instead of just going, that's good enough, that's good enough, Solomon's attitude toward creating a home is saying, yes, you certainly need to put things that have purpose behind them. And that's kind of an elementary thing. If you have a beautiful chair that's uncomfortable, that's really not fulfilling a good purpose. But at the same time, are there things that you put in your environment that are actually valuable? Not valuable materially necessarily, but valuable to you.
Well, we'll finish up this message next time on The Balanced Word as we continue our series, Smarter Living, with Dave Roth. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Have a great weekend.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my